Hey, beautiful people. I'm Sarah, and welcome to my show, Ignited by Inner Beauty, a podcast that is setting the world on fire with body positivity, female empowerment, and self-love. If you need some feel-good vibes and a reminder of just how beautiful you truly are, then you came to the right place. I'm so excited to share what's in store for you today. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 49 of Ignited by Inner Beauty. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to ignitedbyinnerbeauty.com, read my blog, check out other episodes, buy some merch, and even join my body positive book club. You can also rate me on Apple Podcasts, and that really helps me get out the inner beauty message with others. Today on the show, you'll hear from Sarah Miley, and I had a fantastic conversation with her. She is a trauma recovery and lifestyle design coach, and she has an incredible story of starting with finding out that she had all this trauma, kind of going to therapy, feeling this kind of numbness, not knowing what she likes, what she disliked, what to do with her life, and really then with her trauma, using it for good, not only healing from it herself, but helping others heal from trauma with her current business. So it was just so incredible to hear the science behind what trauma does to our bodies, you know, what we can do to heal from it. I love her perspective on just, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect, just any steps we take towards healing are beneficial to us. And it was absolutely incredible talking with her about what healing can do for us and finding our authentic selves. It was just absolutely a pleasure to speak with her about this. She also had some really great, unique ideas of self-care, and she takes a really personalized approach to that. So I just love that as well. So many great things in this episode. And if you're listening live, you can also join her self-care 101 workshop that is taking place on May 16th, 2024. The link is in this description, this episode description. So definitely if you're listening before that date, please check it out. Since I know she talks a lot about self-care, it's something that she also is very passionate about and has a much more personalized and unique approach to it, probably a different type of self-care than you hear a lot of times in the media. So I really appreciated that. So without further ado, here is Sarah Miley. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for joining me on Ignited by Inner Beauty. I'm so grateful to have you here. Why don't you start by talking a little bit about yourself, who you are, and how you're ignited by inner beauty?
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to chat with you about all of this beauty of inner beauty. My name is Sarah Miley. I'm an IFS informed certified trauma recovery coach. I also work lifestyle design specifically curated for trauma survivors. I started my own trademarked program back in the fall called Personalized Trauma Healing System. I started my own private practice called Full Circle Wellspring about 2.5 years ago. So I have been on my trauma healing journey for about a decade now, uncovering things I didn't even know were there. I walked into a therapist's office and I was asking him basically, what do I do with my life? What do I be when I grow up? Like, help me. I kind of was using him like a life coach. And it turned out that I just have a whole bunch of trauma. So I was like, okay, we're starting there. And I still see him weekly. He is a lifesaver. In that decade that I've been doing this work, I have found books, I found podcasts, I found tons of modalities, body work and other type of therapeutic interventions, and have just loved all of them. And about 4 years ago, I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts where someone was on and she was saying, hi, I'm a certified trauma recovery coach. And I was like, oh, what? That's me. I'm going to be that. What is that? I don't even know what it is, but that's what I'm going to be. And so a couple months later during the pandemic, I joined their association and I became certified. I later went on, I got my advanced certification. And then through the IFS Institute, I've gotten IFS Informed, which is internal family systems, one of my favorite modalities. And so, yeah, in this journey, I've just kind of actually changed the entire trajectory of my life, because now I've become a coach and I work with other trauma survivors, which is amazing. And I would say that's part of the inner beauty for me, is kind of twofold. I was thinking about this for the last couple of days, this idea of inner beauty. I think for me has been authenticity, really coming back to my authentic self, right? Not who I would have been without trauma, because some people think of that like, oh, let's just erase it. And like, who would you have been? It's who am I now as a healed slash healing trauma survivor, right? Because I don't believe the work ever ends, but there's a healing that's there. And finding that authentic self, reconnecting to who she is now with all of the healing that she's been through and all of the traumatic experiences. And I've had trauma from different people, from different planes, different types of trauma in different states, from different, from in every decade so far of my life. And as complex trauma tries to kind of fragment you, I think coming back to a wholeness is really beautiful, because it just feels right. You feel like you're realigned to yourself, so to speak, which sounds a little woo-woo, but I'm a little woo-woo, so it works. I would say the other side of that inner beauty is really for me now getting to utilize the skills that I learned in my trauma, which I'm a big fawner. I'm a big fawner first and freezer second. Those are trauma responses. People have heard of fight and flight and sometimes freeze. Fawning is another one of those. And that's like extreme people pleasing, but to the detriment of yourself. So I have kind of that hero mentality, that savior complex, the rescuer, the fixer, but it ends up to be enabling when it's someone who for that help. And that's what I did to keep myself safe, was keeping everyone else around me as calm and as peaceful as I could. So I know how to help people regulate. But I was doing it with the wrong people who didn't want my help and who weren't trying to heal. They were just utilizing me and taking advantage. So I get to use all of those superpowers, being able to attune to someone and being able to mirror with them and being able to know what's really beneath what they're saying. Those are great skills. And now to be able to utilize them in a proper, healthy way with clients who are asking me for help and are willing to do the work. And so I've had to learn in my authenticity, those skills are still useful. I just need to not put in more effort than the other person is willing to put in their life, which when you're enabling, you are doing all the effort and they are not doing any. So for me, that's become really my inner superpowers, my inner beauty, still helping people, still loving the world, still being overly kind to people. I just believe that kindness heals everything, but now in the proper capacity. And that's been really beautiful for me.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that. I love that, so beautiful. And it is, as hard as it is to go through trauma, it is really admirable to see people like you're now supporting people still, going through that, having gone through that yourself. And I liked how you said that too, like we're not healed, but like healing as we are. It's always a process and never ends. That's really
Yeah,
great.
for sure.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about I guess maybe for people who are not familiar with trauma, like what can trauma be, how it affects us? Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, ooh, great topic. Just the wide gaping hole that is trauma, right?
Yes.
So trauma can be defined in lots of different ways, but trauma gets associated as being the thing that happened. And so that's actually the incorrect thought of it. It's not the experience that's the trauma, it's how your response is, whether or not you can handle what happened, right? So if you and I are driving in a car right now and we're in a car accident, for whatever reason, you might not step foot in another car for 15 years. In fact, you might decline in your mental health and actually become agoraphobic and not even leave the house anymore because you're terrified. I might go take my car to the body shop, be without a car for a week, and then go back and pick it up and be back to driving the very next day, right? What that car accident did was just be a car accident. It's just life. It's just energy moving. Problems happen, accidents happen. That particular situation happened to traumatize you, and now you've got a whole slew of mess because of it. And for me, it was just an event that I can recall without unprocessed and stuck emotions and thoughts about it. So other people will define it kind of simply as it's too much, too soon, not enough of something that you need, or going too fast, right? So when you're a child and a parent dies, you're like three. Okay, that's not how like that quote normal life is happening. And if no one is there to help you with those emotions, it's a very traumatic situation, right? If you're 65 and your 90-year-old parent dies, it's still very sad, but you have other skills, you have other people, you probably have a spouse, your own children. It's a more natural order of life. And so now that same death of a parent is going to impact you different. Trauma is actually the impact on your system. And the way that it impacts is multiple ways. I mean, neurologically, neurochemically, biologically, literally your bio brain, the physical brain, the organ of the brain is can actually be changed. Childhood trauma, you can have a less developed prefrontal cortex, you can have an overactive amygdala. They can actually see this in brain scans. Obviously, emotional after effects, tons of relational after effects. Most traumas, outside of things like a stranger sexual assault or a plane crash or a car accident, most traumas are happening with inside of a relationship that's supposed to be safe, a caregiver, a spouse, a teacher, a coach, right? A sibling who's maybe harming you. Inside of these relationships, when harm happens, it is very difficult for you then to turn around and have very healthy relationships, right? You weren't taught the skills, or maybe now you're super afraid of what people are going to do, or you turn into something like me, where now you've got to people please. Even if that means that someone's abusing you and taking advantage of that, it doesn't matter. That's how I chose to keep myself safe. And so the way that trauma is affecting you emotionally, it could be affecting you sexually, it could be affecting you in ways it just inside of your body, actually physiologically. Trauma survivors are way more likely to have gut issues. They're more likely to have heart disease, to have migraines, to have autoimmune disorders, to have unknown weird things that now they put names on, like fibromyalgia is an example of that. There are still doctors in 2024 that do not believe in fibromyalgia. There are some that do. These unknown rare diseases, autoimmune inflammatory responses, allergens, we're way more physiologically changed as trauma gets stuck in your body and trapped in there. So that's just a small sample of the ways that trauma affects us. It goes very, very deep.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it really displays that like mind body connection in a way, right? Of something that happens to you affecting your relationships, also affecting you physically. Like it's a full body thing. So I guess for your for people who come to you looking for relief from trauma, like what is it that they're looking to do? Like what is, since maybe we can never like erase a certain thing from happening to us, or but is it more like coping that you're helping them with, like you mentioned relationships, or you talk a lot about like that's stuck in your body, how is it released?
Yes, great, great question. I love this question. So yes, who I work with is usually trauma survivors who've been in child. They're adults now, but they have been through childhood trauma. A lot of it has been emotional and relational after effects that they do want to work on. It can also be somatic connections. And the difference between somatic and like your actual body is not just this is my hand, but my somatic connection to know that my hand is part of my body. I can go inside and I can still feel my hand, and I know how many fingers I'm holding up, even though my eyes are closed, right? So it's a somatic connection to your body. There is a lot of work to be done with talking about it, helping someone to move through it in a way that doesn't trigger them, right? Because we're not in the place of actually reprocessing it. Some people need to do that with a talk therapist or with a psychiatrist. But in coaching, what we're actually doing is we're saying, okay, this is what happened, and I'm ready to kind of move forward. But here's the issues that I'm having, right? And there's twofold for me. My expertise is kind of in lifestyle design specifically. And I like to say trauma healing is twofold. It's yes, helping someone when they get dysregulated to have tools in their toolbox to regulate the system. And I'm talking about the physical autonomic nervous system. This is when you are actually trauma triggered. Something has happened and has dysregulated you. So you're either freezing, fight, flight, fawn. You are either in a hyper arousal, or you are in a hypo arousal, right? to get you back re-regulated is a great skill. You need those skills and you kind of need them. Those are kind of more of your emergency skills, right? So when you're in that place, how do we bring you back into regulation? And we call it the window of capacity or window of tolerance. I'm going to call it window of regulation just so people know what I'm talking about. Trauma survivors often have a very narrow window of tolerance, of regulation. They might not have been taught how to self-soothe. Maybe they were injured in as an infant, like an attachment wound to their caregiver. Maybe they didn't even mean to injure them, but they are not sure if this caregiver is safe. They might not have been taught how to self-care. They might not think that they are worth self-care, right? There's a lot of self-esteem and self-worth issues. So why should I take care of myself? Why do I care? These are things that we can tackle because that narrow window of tolerance is going to be so small that every move you make, every time the boss yells, every time your kid spills something, every time your husband doesn't say the right thing to you, you're actually going to dysregulate, right? So yes, we want tools to help you calm yourself and self-soothe, but we also want to expand your window of capacity. That window of regulation can actually widen with things like lifestyle design. Right. So if you're not sleeping very well, if you're not eating very well, if you don't have a regimen of self-care, if you don't take care of yourself, if you're not physically active, if you don't have a social life, if you're very isolated, right? If you are not feeding yourself properly, these are all things that are going to impact how well you can stay regulated to tolerate something like, okay, the boss got pissed at you because your report was late or your kid spilled something. You can actually still go through those stressors and stay regulated if you have a wider window of capacity. And so to me, that's kind of the twofold healing part that I do with my clients to help them. Yes, here's your toolbox, because we don't want just negative coping skills. Those are maladaptive. I can help you figure out where they came from, right? This is a lot of the IFS, the parts work that I do as well. We can figure out where those coping skills actually came from and what they're trying to protect you from. And we can do healing with those coping skills. But then you also need other things in the toolbox, right? Someone jokes that says, if your car is broken and your toolbox only has a hammer, you're going to have a pretty beat up car afterwards after you try to fix it, right? You need more tools to work on the car. And if they're not in there, every time you reach in, you're just going to grab a freaking hammer and it's not going to help you, right? So we want to build that, but we also want to be trying to build that window of tolerance as well.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Like, just of how, it's like, it reminds me of like the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, how many straws does it take, right? Like, is it like one and you're just gone? Or that's really insightful. And I'm curious as well, so for somebody who I just feel like people don't handle trauma very well. Like, I've heard a lot of things of, if someone dies, like, people don't know what to say, people don't know what to do, and people don't know how to react and support others who are going through who are trying to, heal through a past trauma. Do you have any advice on that front, or things about supporting others go through that journey?
That is great, because even if you don't know someone who not everyone identifies as being called a trauma survivor, right? Mm-hmm. Some people actually still continue to prefer the word victim. Some people, I think a larger majority prefer survivor, but some people go, I didn't have any trauma. I would have said that a decade ago. I have a lot of stress. So some people more relate to that. A lot of people can understand that word grief, right? So even if you don't know someone who's been through past traumas and they're not actively in a trauma recovery program, but they might have gone through grief, I think everybody has known someone like that. And I think some of the best advice out there is, first of all, how close are you to the person, right? Because that's going to change the advice that you're given, right? If you're their best friend, you're kind of expected to be there and show up in a different way than you've ever had to show up before, right? If you're an acquaintance and you see them 3 months later at the grocery store, you're going to show up differently, right? And so I think just being the most authentic that you can. And for some people, I think probably a lot of people, you don't know what to say. Right. So that's okay to say, hey, I don't really know what to say right now. What can I do for you? I don't really know what to say, but I'm just going to sit here with you if that's okay.
That's so great.
Asking them specifically, you know, a lot of people, even if it's not grief, someone's had a baby or something, you go, okay, let me know if you need anything. They're never going to do that. The human desire to not reach out to people, and especially in a time of crisis, to ask someone for help, most people are not like that. You have some people who tend to run on the needier side who can do that. Most people are very terrified to do that. So instead of saying something like, okay, you know, re reach out, you can show up if you're really close friends with them and say, hey, I'm here. What do you need me to do right now? If you're not super close to them, maybe you just reach out every couple of days and say, hey, I'm still here and I'm just checking. Is there anything I can do for you today? You know, actually, I just had some clients cancel. I've got about a 2 hour this afternoon. Do you want me to go run some groceries? Can I come over and help clean? What would you need? And really just being persistent and giving space. It's like a beautiful marriage balance of those two things, making sure that they're not isolated or alone, making sure they know your support is there. And then titrating back into giving a little space because they might literally not know what they need. And then titrating back into supporting again and just reminding them, hey, I don't really know what's best here. You do, though. Can I help you figure that out? Right. So that would be some advice, but I think it really depends on the relationship.
That's such great advice. I can imagine the like, let me know if you need anything, not being very helpful. Like it's still like offering and showing up, you know, is great. Reaching out. I love that. So you mentioned before some people who like wouldn't identify as a trauma survivor. And then on the flip side, do you see people or aware of people who like don't want to let go of their trauma of like, this is my identity, this is like my struggle, I'm always gonna have this with me, or maybe like afraid to let go of the trauma? Is that maybe part of the experience for some people?
Yes, 100%. You know, I think in mainstream, kind of the buzzword that we would probably lock onto these people would be like that victim mentality, like they're stuck in that victim mentality. What I would say to that is these are people who probably just aren't quite ready to make the steps because they're not sure what lies on the other side. And why I think that is so fair is because so. The fun, horrible, terrible fact about your brain is that it doesn't care if you're happy or healthy. It doesn't care if you're fulfilling your purposes, your dreams. It knows nothing about that. It's trying to keep you safe. The other fun, terrible, horrible thing about brains is that familiar is always better than unfamiliar. That means the abusive marriage that you are in seems safer than walking out the door. And that is a neurobiological answer. That is how humans are. We have not evolved out of that yet. What is on the other side of that door is way more terrifying because it's unfamiliar. This is where reactivating things like your spirit or your soul, some people call it like your psyche, like your mind, like who you are, yourself. There's a lot of different words for it. Reactivating that spirit self, that's where you connect to, wait, what actually makes me happy? Wait, is this in the best interest of my higher self? What are my dreams? What is my passion? That's where that kicks in, and your brain is going, don't think about that stuff. That's scary. Don't do that, right? So that actually applies the exact same way to someone who's maybe stuck in something and they just don't, it looks like they can't get out. They're afraid to get out. And it seems that way until it's not, until they make an active decision for it not to be. And so we call it the victim mentality, but I know every time we use that, it tends to have that negative connotation. But for people who have heard that maybe about themselves, or maybe they feel that about themselves, you're not wrong. There is a victimized part of you that is going, we have to stay here. It might be that you feel like that's what you deserve because we know that trauma survivors struggle so much with self-esteem and self-worth, right? Their ego is very, very, very low or very, very damaged is another way to look at it, right? And so if you feel like maybe this is the best you deserve, this abusive relationship or this terrible job that you hate, that's okay until you don't want it to be okay. You'll know when it's ready, when you're ready to step out and go, you know what? Maybe there's something on the other side. If you just get a little bit curious, a little bit inquisitive, you know what did I imagine my life to be when I was younger? Is this it? And if you start to get a little curious about it, then you're going, maybe there's a different way. And that's going to, again, that immediate thought is going to feel scary. That's normal because that's, again, what the brain does. But the more that you engage in that spirituality side of yourself, the more you're going to start questioning, is there something better? Is there something that I can do to make this life a little bit more joyful, more thriving? This doesn't seem like this is the end of the line for me anymore. I want something different and better. And the brain might not like that. And so, yeah, people do tend to feel stuck. You might 5-10 years in your trauma healing, and then immediately something stops you and you feel stuck again. That's okay. We'll wait and we'll be patient. And when you're ready to unstick, we'll work through it, right? And it's just parts of yourself. That's where that IFS lens comes in of parts work, of it's just a part that is not sure that you deserve to do the next thing. It's a part that is too afraid for you to step out. It's too unsure. And that's okay. That's not really who you are, though. That's just a part of you that's very afraid or shamed or in pain, right?
Yeah, that makes so much sense of wanting to like stay in the comfort of what we know. Yeah, that definitely is. Yeah, that's really understandable. I'm curious as well. So for I know, of course, there's probably like no timeline, as everyone's different, of like when they'll kind of have a turning point of healing, but maybe you, if you want to speak for your own self, how did you know that you were, you know, you got through enough trauma where you could then have the you know, where could be there for other people and feel good to support others on their healing journey?
Yeah. I'm going to answer that in two different, I'm going to go down two different lanes because I heard two different questions in there. My brain did anyways. The first part is moving forward into your healing. Even just listening to a podcast like this, they're probably on some kind of journey, whoever's listening to this, right? Even a small step of being aware of something, aware that maybe this relationship isn't best, aware that maybe you got triggered. Oh, I think I was in fight and flight today. Oh, I disassociated. Just awareness is actually a step. And then the next step, and then the next step. And I always tell people, you have two choices. They're kind of both dark and scary and windy. They're both dark, dark tunnels. But imagine if you have two dark tunnels in front of your face, and one of them is a means to an end. And eventually it's going to get a little lighter. It's going to get a little less cold. It's going to start to feel a little bit safer. There's not going to be as many rats as you get moving. It's not going to be easy, but there's a light at the end of this tunnel where this one ends in a giant boulder. And actually we don't even know what's down here. It's just more of the same, more of the dark, more of the rats. There's water everywhere. You're going to be freezing. There's no food. It's always dark. They start out looking both the same. When you pick that first one, as you go, every single step you take, you are moving in the right direction. And so to me, that is, you're already in a trauma healing state because you are actively even thinking differently. You're thinking there might be something better. You're becoming more aware. You're reaching out for help. You're asking for a resource. You're starting with a therapist or a coach. Those are the steps that are important. As you start to move along, what's going to happen is you're going to uncover more and more of your authenticity. It's almost like a snake shedding its skin, right? The layers of trauma, as they move off of you, you are now becoming more and more of your real self. And you're able to walk in your authenticity. Oh my goodness, you might be doing cool things like putting down boundaries with people, and you maybe have never done that before, right? You're speaking your mind. You actually are feeling your emotions. You're reconnecting somatically to your body. Like, oh my goodness, you're starting to see more light. And then maybe you have a total flop and you're in bed for 3 weeks because then you go through a big depression, and that's okay because you are not the same person in that 3 week depression as you were a year ago, right? And so as you move along into that authenticity, if there's a purpose and a calling on your life, which I think it has to be for any type of emotional laborious job, like a teacher, things like that, there has to be a calling, right? And I believe, I personally believe, and I will die on this hill, that everyone has a purpose and a calling. And that includes those who are working at the McDonald's, who are driving the garbage trucks, those who are coaching soccer on Saturday morning to those little brats who don't want to be there, right? Those are passions and purposes. For some person, that is the perfect job for them. They're going to be happy in it. They're going to thrive in it. They're going to be able to use their authenticity, their creativity. They get to be themselves. And if that means driving a delivery truck, that is your calling. You go for it. And so for me, I stepped into the authenticity that my life is to be in service of others, just not at the detriment of myself and a disservice to myself. I was extremely self-abandoned, like textbook self-abandoned, which means I did not know who I was, what I wanted, what I liked, what my desires were, what my dreams are. I was just going along, taking care of the people. I had my son when I was a teenager, so that threw me into more stress and just raising him by myself. And here I am now going, who am I? What do I want to be when I grow up? And that's how I landed in the therapist's office. Like I said, like literally treating him like a life coach. Cause I was like, in movies, people go to therapists to figure out what they want to do. And then it's like, well, wait, why don't you know what you like or what you want? Right. And it's like, oh, cause I have no idea who I am. I was so disconnected from that. And so for me, that full circle came back around to like, oh, I'm going to be a trauma coach. I'm going to work with other trauma survivors, but that is not the outcome for every person's trauma healing. It just happens to be my authenticity. And I think that that is where you're going to land yourself. Now, I think everyone can kind of share, right? Like you're on Instagram, definitely share some great posts, like enlighten people. If you're going through trauma healing, I have some clients that love to do that. They love to like share a personal story that maybe happened in a session or something they're working on. They're obviously involved in a lot of like self-motivation and self-help. So like share that stuff. You know, you see someone going through something, help them. It doesn't have to be your career, but I think reaching back, you'll know, because the words are going to be ready to come out of you. Cause you're like, oh, holy crap. I felt the same way as you. Oh my word. And I've gone through that outside of coaching, just with people of a particular trauma that was, I didn't actually know that I was there. I've had multiple types of trauma over the last four decades. One of the types of trauma that I've gone through, I thought needed a lot more work because it was still a little bit active in my life. It's kind of still part of my ongoing journey. And then I met someone and she started breaking down, telling me this stuff. And I actually stood there in the gap for her and was able to hold my emotions. I almost forgot about my situation. And I was like, listen, here's what's going to help. And I was like, you can take this or leave this, but no, you can do this. And then it became a lot of encouragement. And she walked away and I told my therapist, I've made it to the other side of that thing. Right. And it was just, it's wild, right? It's wild. And you'll know it when you know it, because you're going to be able to relate to people in a whole different way. Cause you're showing up as your authentic self everywhere you go. You'll be surprised. You'll surprise yourself at how well you can relate to others on a regular basis. So, yeah.
Wow. I love that so much. Was there other like revelations for you when you like really found your authentic self, obviously providing service to others, but other like likes or dislikes or fun things that you really found about yourself?
Yeah. You know, it's allowed me to reconnect to important lifestyle design pillars for sure, because that disconnection from my body was really, really real. And that took some work to reconnect. The disconnection from my emotions was my biggest thing. I was basically a robot. People would say, oh, you're just dead inside. You know, we joke about it, right? It was funny, right? I hadn't cried in decades, no big deal, right? So reconnecting to my emotions, which was really hard. But then when you learn like these protectors are doing these things to keep you safe, they're just parts that are trying to protect you. So inside, I would say of IFS for myself have been the biggest aha things of like, that's why I do that. Oh my, oh, that, oh. And then you realize it's like a 3-year-old and you're like, that's my 3-year-old. Oh, look at her trying so hard. And that's where all your self-compassion can come back into play, because you're like, wait, I can't be mad at this anymore. She's so cute and little, right? I would say finding my friendships have changed. My relationships have changed. In fact, that is such a commonality that happens. Most of us, at least in my association as coaches, have that in our policies and procedures, that your relationships may change, right? So that spouse that you're with, you may or may not now decide that you're ready to leave that abusive situation. The mom that you talk to, you might decide that's not healthy anymore. I'm not going to. Or maybe you haven't talked to her in a decade and you decide you're going to. You relate differently to people. And I would say that for sure has happened for me. Different planes of woo that I've gone to, just different ways that I relate to the universe as a whole, I would say has changed a lot of the relationships. And yeah, just kind of finding out like what I'm good at and oh man, I can really use this for the greater good. And finding boundaries was huge for me as well. I didn't even know what that word. meant at all.
Yeah.
I knew I was boundaried because I had a giant wall around me, but I had no boundaries when people needed something, right? But like you weren't going to ever get to know me. And so I had to actually lower the boundary of myself going out and allow people to kind of come in healthy ways. So learning like the difference between a toxic relationship and a
Yeah.
non-toxic relationship. So that's been huge. Tons of aha moments. Oh my, I couldn't even list them all. There's too many.
Yeah, that's amazing. I feel like and as we talk about inner beauty, it really clarifies and adds color to like what you talked about of authenticity. It's like we can be our authentic, like beautiful selves, let that really shine for others, for ourselves when we, are more healed and have the capacity to do that. I think that's so beautiful.
And even one step further, as you're healing, there might still be some ugly pieces that you don't necessarily love about yourself, right? Maybe
Sure.
some still maladaptive coping skills. But when you're in authenticity, you still show those sides of yourself. And then you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm still working on that. You're still authentic,
Yeah.
even in the realization that you may have not acted in the right way because you were acting so authentic. So I think the more that people can just kind of say, obviously within reason, what's on their mind, right? In safe situations with safe people, if you can find even one safe person that you can be totally vulnerable and totally authentic, it doesn't mean it's going to look perfect all the time, but even still, then you're open to being coached or being taught. Like when someone says, wait a minute, when you said that, oh, that made me feel XYZ, you can go, oh my goodness, I realize I say that all the time to myself in my head. I shouldn't have said that to you. And there's still authenticity there, even though it's
Yeah.
still a work in progress.
Right. And there's such like beauty and like you said, just knowing that or like thinking differently to be able to recognize that. That's so great. And wanting to, grow and heal is amazing.
To me, as soon as you make that step, you're all already in post-traumatic growth because you just made one teeny little step. And even if you go up 10 and come back down backwards 100, that's okay because you are actually not that same person who fell the 10 steps back. You have now have whatever those 10 steps of growth. Maybe you've learned boundaries, maybe you read a book that changed your life. You are now a different person who is on that plateau, even if you fell backwards. It's okay.
Right. That's such a great way to look at it instead of like unattainable perfection, right? It's just growth and, continuing on that. I love that. So as you are a coach and are really caring for other people a lot, what are some of your own self-care practices to for your mind, body, soul, any of your favorites?
Love this. I love this so much. So I would say I have a couple of favorite practitioners because I do still have people that are helping me. My therapist is number one. I still see him weekly. Actually, it's twice weekly this week because of some stuff. So I just saw him this morning. I have great body work practitioners. I love cranial sacral therapy. Visceral manipulation is another one, and that's the same practitioner. She does both, and that has helped me a lot in healing with my gut issues, my GI disorders that I have. Visceral manipulation is literally like it, think of it as like a massage for your viscera, for your organs, right?
Oh,
It's
wow.
really, really beautiful. And she is, to me, more knowledgeable than any doctor put all of my doctors put together. So I love that. And she's her license is as an LMT, and then her certifications go into cranial sacral and visceral. But it's like, yeah, there's no PhD there, and she is wiser about my body, and she has been more helpful in the last how long have I been with her? 2, 3 years. Oh, maybe it's almost four, 3.5, I think. So I utilize those things as self-care because they are
Yeah.
also relaxing and helpful to me. I'm very, very careful about my daily habits. My mornings have to be slow. That's just the type of chronotype that I am. I like slow mornings and don't get me out of bed right away. I like to meditate and read first thing in the morning. Right now I'm reading Rick Hansen's Neurodharma, great book. And I just want to read for 15 minutes in the morning. I want to meditate. I don't check any of my messages until I've been up for about an hour. I don't look at any of those notifications. That is really helpful because it sets my whole mind on a whole day. I'm really, really big in exercise. To me, there is something beautiful about using your body in ways that you enjoy, right? I've done aerial arts in the past, which have been like an adult playground for myself. I'm now kind of really into lifting weights. It's a great way to release frustration and anger and just, oh my God, the sweating. I just don't sweat. I'm like, how am I sweating this much? Like, how is there not, we're just, there's not a puddle below me. But that has been really, really fun. I also do a lot of my exercising with a friend of mine. So you incorporate the social stuff. Great group of girlfriends, my word almighty, knowing how to eat for myself, which has been a big challenge. I've struggled with eating disorder and I have a million GI disorders. I've got a couple of rare diseases and a GI disorder that's also rare. And so I've had to work with GI, I've had to work with nutrition and really find things that work for me. I have a ton of food allergies. So getting myself into that place where I can actually feel healthy is really great. Balancing hormones is super important to me. That self-care when your hormones are off, especially as a woman, but men affects it affects as well. I am in the perimenopause stage, which we do not talk about enough. So, hello, perimenopause. Super important to know what's going on in your body so that you don't feel insane. To me, it's about what is going to make you feel like yourself and give you the space that you need. Self-care is such a buzzword. Ugh. It's almost like gross at this point because everyone's like, it's a bubble bath, it's a yoga class. If you and I went to take a bubble bath right now and you're like doing this for self-care so I can check it off, let me just, check my emails while I'm in there. And I take a bubble bath because my body's like longing to sit in some Epsom salt and I just want to listen to some music and nobody's home and it's so relaxing. Those are two, they're the same activity. We both checked them off of our list, but they feel totally different. And also remembering that for trauma survivors, things that are helpful for me are actually triggering for other people. So breath work would be one of them. Meditation for some trauma survivors, that is scary and actually triggers them into an active activation. Yoga, right? Because if you're touched in yoga, if it's not a trauma-informed yoga, that might be the best part of my week, go into my Sunday morning yoga class. And for you, it actually might trigger you. So that's why it has to be customized. My life, all of my lifestyle design stuff, it's based on finding a regimen of self-care and basic self needs for you, based on what you've been through, right? It's the same thing like finding tools for your toolbox. They have to match for you. Those are your rescues. And then your daily self-care regimen, like knowing what is going to work, what you have time for, what you have money for. Like my son is grown now because I had him when I was a teenager and I'm not currently in a relationship. So I have a lot of stinking time. I get to kind of do whatever I want. If you're a mom with five little kids running around, or a dad who's like a CEO in the middle of, being a coach for your kids' hockey teams, yeah, we're gonna have different lifestyle designs because I just have a lot more space for Sarah right now, which, albeit, is beautiful. But everybody, we have to kind of match where people are, not just in their trauma, but actually in their life, in their phase where they're at.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Such an individualistic approach to what people need. And I think so often, like you said, self-care is such a buzzword, and it's even more like icky, I feel like, when it's just like capitalized on, buy this pair of jewelry because self-care, you know what I mean? It's like not really what it's about. But
Well, you always see those commercials. They open the freezer door and they're like, well, self-care. And they grab a Ben and Jerry's, which, yes, it can be. Because if you don't allow yourself treats and you're like, my body actually wants this tonight, then it is self-care. If you struggle with binge eating disorder and you do that every single night and you're going to multiple grocery stores, that's actually not self-care. Now your brain's just tricking you. So it is a really interesting thing. I don't know when this episode is going to air, but if it doesn't air before May 16th, I do a workshop every month. It's only $15 a person. The one that I'm doing for May is about self-care, and we're going
Oh,
to talk about what
perfect.
it actually looks like, who it's actually for, and how trauma sur what not how why trauma survivors actually need it. It is like imperative because you need to have more calm and more regulation in your system. You're living in survival mode, and the only way to click that over is to expand that window of capacity. And so, self-care is our topic for this week, which is really neat. So,
I love that. Yeah, I think there should be. It's so great that you're doing that. There just needs to be more discussion on how people can really navigate that, of like what can truly feel like self-care and what is for
yes.
someone and isn't for someone else. I think that's right. It's so often, it's just a do XYZ, and they just
It
want a
becomes a
one
list.
size, yeah, like fits all solution, when it's really not that.
It definitely isn't. And remembering that rest is important. So if you're an overactive, overdoer, high achiever, high performer, which I've been there, in fact, I'm still there, Rest is the only self-care that your body wants. It doesn't want another thing on your to-do list. Because I know if
Right,
you're a
right.
master of to-do list, I know. I've got a calendar, I've got reminders, I've got a to-do list. I mean, I run a business, so obviously I have to have some of them, but I can get really obsessive about that. And it's like, you know what? To put that down, flip it over, turn on like, a yoga nidra on YouTube or something for 20 minutes and just allow myself to coast and chill and close my eyes. That might be the most important self-care that I do all day. So if I'm adding more things to my list and it feels like I'm adding them, the other side is grace. Trauma survivors, we often are black and white people, right? It is an all or nothing. So if you didn't do your exercise at 9 o'clock this morning, well, there goes your whole freaking day because now you're not going to do it the whole rest of the week. Everything's no, just go, you know what? This morning I didn't exercise. Maybe this afternoon I'll get a little walk and then tomorrow I'll start over. So it's learning compassion and self. So I would say that's a big, that would be a red flag. If you've got a list of self-care stuff and it's all or nothing, if you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. And it's very, there's a lot of catastrophizing happening. Pause. That might not be self-care for you. What else do you actually need? Like ask your, get really get curious of why you are getting a little bit hyperactive about this particular thing on this list, because that might not be real self-care. It's not feeding your spirit, which is what we're trying to do. It's the brain trying to keep you in control and managed in a way. And we want to connect more into the spirit and the soul so that we can be finding those things that are thriving and joyful and easeful because the brain doesn't care about that.
Oh my gosh, that's such great advice for people kind of navigating that. So one question I love to ask is, what is one thing about yourself, that's your favorite thing about yourself and has nothing to do with your appearance?
Oh goodness, my favorite thing about myself. I would say it's probably the all of a sudden I feel like I'm just gonna name it that I just feel like I'm on the stage of a beauty pageant and I just want to say that my favorite day is April 16th. And if you have seen the movie, Miss Congeniality, you know
Yes.
what I'm talking
Great
about.
one.
I think one of the things that I like about myself is that I love to learn. I don't know where it came from that I'm just, there's a lot of resiliency in continuing to find things that are educational, but like are specific for me. Like, I mean, great. It's going to bleed out into my friends, into my clients, into my family. Other people are going to benefit from my healing, but that's true anyways, right? So I'm always trying to figure things out. And I'm so grateful. Like, there's a lot of downfalls about technology, right? But I'm so grateful that at the drop of a hat, we can find books, we can listen to audios, there's podcasts. So many of the things that I've learned about, I have like ingested. I've actually had to spend 2024 has actually been my year of like slowing down the intake because I will gobble it up. But if you don't have room to digest it and metabolize it, it just kind of regurgitates, right? And there were so many classes and books that I read and things that I just voraciously just needed to know about for the last several years that this year I was like, I need to learn more to rest and to play. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I kind of cut some of these things out. So I cut out a couple classes I was taking. I am now only reading one book at a time, and it is only from that bookshelf. I am not allowed to buy any more books until it's gone, right? Because I love to learn, though, that has led me on the path that I've gotten to. I wouldn't have heard that podcast. I wouldn't have found out about being a coach. I wouldn't have probably any of the education that I know. I love neuroscience. I love learning about the nervous system. I love understanding what's actually physiologically happening. I wouldn't be able to know any of that unless I enrolled in some college classes and went and got a PhD, right? So I love that these things are at our fingertips, but that has been the catalyst to really getting me to the path that I'm at is because I'm hungry for that. I long for that. So I really like that part about myself. It makes me very proud and happy that I am like that because it's not hard. It's not hard to read and learn and digest. So yeah.
That's so great. And
Yeah.
it's there's so much in the world to learn, and you can, and it seems like, using it for like bettering yourself and others and knowing like more things about, like you said, the nervous system. That's so cool. I love that so much. So as we wind down here, just thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest. I know this is an audio medium, but I could just feel your excitement and like joy of talking about this. So it's just so wonderful to have your inner beauty shine out. So is there anything else, any last words that you want to say to our guests? And then where can they find you?
Thank you again, Sarah, for having me on. This has been amazing to chat with you. I love talking about inner beauty. I think my message that I will just not stop sharing is that healing is possible. I have met people who have been through horrific things. We try not to, obviously, there's a spectrum of trauma, right? But it's like, oh God, it's so much worse than stuff I've been through, right? Even though we don't really quantify it, but we do in our brain. And it's like, even they have gone to the other side and they are moving in authenticity. They have touched back to their real self. They have healed from so much. So I just really, really want everyone listening, if they take one thing, is that it is possible. Years of complex trauma from multiple people on multiple levels for 4 decades. And I am still here telling you that healing is possible because I'm doing it every single day. So I really appreciate people like yourself who put out the content to really shine on that inner stuff that makes us who we are, because that's what connects us all, right? That's what makes us human. We're never going to all look the same, but we all have the same kind of fears, the same desires. We all want to be happy. We want to be healthy. We want to be safe. We want to be okay. We want some people in our life that we can trust, right? So we all have a lot of those same basic needs at our core. And I think that that's great. So thank you for having me on. People can find more about me at my website, which is www.fullcirclewellspring.com. It's just one word, fullcirclewellspring.com. They can find more about me, the podcast, which is called Trauma Survivorhood. I do a free 30-minute discovery call. I also love resourcing people. So if someone is listening and they're like, I do not connect with her, she's not the right coach for me, I don't even know if I want coaching, but they need some help and tips on how to get the ball rolling, still do a discovery call. It's no charge and there's no obligation. Let's talk, and I will send you a slew of resources. I'm joking now with people that I'm going to change my middle name to Sarah Resource Miley. I will resource people
Love
until the day that I die, because not everybody can afford services. Not everyone lives in a place. Not everyone can read. Not everyone has all of those resources. So I will put them in your lap. And yeah, they can reach out to me and find some workshops. Connect with me on Instagram. I'm just rebuilding my Instagram because I had to change it over from my, I had an issue with my social media manager's account. And so we had to kind of move it over. So we're migrating. But that's where you can find all of the reels and the stuff that I post. So yeah, I would love to connect with anyone. They can reach out at any time.
I love that. Thank you so much, Sarah, for being on. It was so wonderful chatting with you, and thanks for sharing your inner beauty with everyone.
Thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode of Ignited by Inner Beauty. I hope this episode served as a reminder of just how beautiful and worthy you are. If you enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe, provide a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and share this episode with a friend. For more information about Ignited by Inner Beauty, please go to ignitedbyinnerbeauty.com and sign up for my email list to keep up to date on new blog posts and podcast episodes. If you'd like to support my mission of empowering women, you can go to patreon.com/ignitedbyinnerbeauty and receive some exclusive content and giveaways. If you're not already following me on social media, please follow me on Instagram @ignitedbyinnerbeauty and Twitter @ignitedbeauty. Thank you again for joining me, and please tune in for the next episode.